Word of God. Very powerful. Well-respected ministers in the charismatic movement. And their intercessory groups, they pay them to intercede. In other words, they have so much money that if they want to pray about something or somebody, they call their intercessory groups and they pay them. Well, you see, this little church doesn't have the money to pay anybody. It doesn't even pay me or Pastor Dennis or anybody. We come here because we love you and we stand with you and we try to teach you and minister to you to the best of our abilities. We're not perfect people, but that's why we're here, is because you're God's people and this is where He has us at this moment. But the intercessory groups all over the world are praying against me and this church. So when you see that the church is under attack, as it has been, you need to take and fast at least once a week and intercede and pray, because you can see sometimes in the physical realms what's happening in the spiritual realms with your physical eyes, even if you might not be able to see spiritually. And it's true, it's summertime and people are traveling and everything. But on the other hand, we have an end-time ministry. And people are falling away from God. And many of them are going right into churches and finding the devil and falling away from God. Many. Many are never coming back again. God has shown me that. And I'm not talking about people that are out today. I'm talking about people that have fallen away, never coming back again. It's very sad to go to church and fall away from Christ, isn't it? And it's happening in our time. And so, as a church, we need to begin to say to the Lord, Lord, show us what to do. Show us how we can make a difference for this fellowship that you have us in. Because it's imperative that we stand strong and we make it through. Now, you making it through doesn't depend on how much you know. It does depend on how obedient you are to Jesus. It does depend on your connection to His throne, because He can take the weakest little bird and strengthen it. I saw Him one time bring a little bird back to life that crashed up against our window. And my daughter was about Isaiah's age at the time. And she ran out and picked it up and came in crying with it in her hand, and she says, Mommy, it's dead. I said, why don't you pray for it, honey? And she did. It came back to life instantly. And we put it in a little bird cage and fed it for about 3 or 4 days. And then one day the Lord said, you can let the bird go. She didn't want to let it go. But it was a wild bird. It needed to be out there where it's supposed to be. And I opened the door and it flew away. Happy. It was alive again. And so we need to understand that our God is able to do more than we can ever even think of. And we need to begin to work in our faith realms. Very quickly so. Amen. So Friday night, I taught on the name of Jesus, how powerful it is to know Jesus and to be able to reach out and just simply use His name. When a woman gets married, one of the most delightful things of my marriage was when I married my husband and I found out that I had power to go and cash checks using his name. And then the next thing was when I got a credit card and I could go and charge. These were very powerful things for me. Well, you see, Jesus is like that. Jesus has a name that all of a sudden we don't use his name. We don't understand the connection between his people and his name. That he has spiritual bank accounts and spiritual credit cards. Amen? And so we need to know how to tap in to the power that he died for us, that he left for us. And it just seems to me anyway that real, true, honest-to-God Christians are not where they should be in the spiritual realms. We are supposed to be the head and not the tail. That's the word. We're the ones that are supposed to be blessed, not cursed. Is that right? Isn't that what you read in the Bible? And so if we're not being blessed, something's wrong. So what is wrong? It's because we don't know our way to the bank account, to the spiritual bank account. We don't know our identity with Jesus Christ. And we don't know how to use it. There are Christians that live all of their life believing that when I die, I'm going to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. And that's true. If they never take one withdrawal out of their spiritual bank account, when they die, if they believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, they will be ushered right before the throne. But if he left us a gold mine, which is the word, and a mine, you dig into it, don't you? You dig for gold. You dig for diamonds. You have a little thing and you just chip away until, oh, there's one, right? Or you go to the stream and you look down and you pan for gold. Oh, look, I found a rock. It's real. It's gold. Well, that's sort of the way the Bible is. That's why we encourage you to read the Word every single day so that God can minister to you through his Word. So you have that connection that I talked to you about Friday, that Jesus dispenses the Word of God to us through his anointing and his power. To us, Lord, who believe, we take the Word of God, and the Word of God becomes very powerful when we apply it to our lives and we apply it to whatever situation is going on. Now, I came up in the early move of the faith movement, and they were teaching us how to take the Word and apply it to our lives. And it was true. And somewhere along the line, they got off of course. And the faith message began to move on how much faith do you have. Well, you see, the faith that Jesus' people have is how much obedience do you have to him? And how much is your relationship with him? How close are you walking with him? Because, you see, if something's going on and you don't have faith for it, he does. And sometimes we have to have that God faith to get over a hump, right? And if we don't have the faith, then we have to have the relationship so that he can nudge us and show us what to do. And he will do that. Amen? And so you have to look at the Word of God, that you've got this tower that is strong. And Jesus is the strongest being in the whole universe. But then you have an enemy, and that is Satan. And unfortunately, it just seems to me that people a lot of times are more open to the things that Satan is saying into their minds than the things that the Word of God could say to their hearts. And the reason is their mind, it's the battleground. That is where the devil works, is right up here in the mind. And you have to get a hold to what's going on your mind to find out, what does God want me to do? And it may be the entire opposite of what you think that you're supposed to do. Amen? So in 2 Corinthians, in the verse 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, if you notice that scripture, you are in a warfare. Amen? Jesus is powerful and strong. But you wake up every day with the tools to win your warfare. First principle is walking with Jesus. Second principle, study the Word so that you can pack the Word in you, so the Holy Ghost can bubble the Word up and use it when you need it. And the third principle is resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, you know, we need the devil to flee from us, don't we? And sometimes we feel like we're so helpless. But you have more might, more power than all the devils in the world. Just one person and Jesus make a majority. But we have to use the weapons. So I talked to you about the weapon of using the name of Jesus Friday night. And today we're going to talk about using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? So if you got your Bibles, Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then turn quickly over to Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the dividing asunder and soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the Word of God is very, very important for us as Christians to have an understanding that God gave us a roadmap called the Word of God. And if the promises of God are there in the roadmap, then as Christians, we need to walk in the road, right? With what? The Word. It's like if you've got a car, you can get in the car and drive at high speeds or low speeds, but you'll get to your destination a lot faster than if you're stumbling and walking. The Word of God is your vehicle to success. And so knowledge of the Word of God is very, very important, because without study of the Word, nothing is inside of your spiritual bank account for you to withdraw any spiritual things that you need out of it. You cannot walk in the Spirit without that spiritual bank account. Amen? And knowledge of how it operates. So now in Hebrews, back into Hebrews 4:12, it says, the Word of God is quick and powerful. And that means the word quick there means that the Word of God is alive. It's a living force. And the Bible describes it as though it will never pass away. It will always be alive. Why is the Word of God alive and powerful? Because it came from the mouth of God. And God's words are life. And God's words are power. And when God spoke, He simply spoke, and the whole universe came into being. The world came into being as He spoke. And the Bible shows that as He spoke, it just came into existence. It came out of His mind into existence. But it shows that the Word of God is alive and powerful. But on the other hand, the word of the devil is total disaster and destruction. When Abalion comes out of the sea in Revelation 9 and then again in 13, you'll see this demon that comes out of the sea in the last days. And this demon, the Bible says, is the angel of destruction. His intention is to come up out of the sea for the purpose of destroying the world. Now, it's true that the Bible says that the whole world will follow after this angel of the whirlwind through the words that are spoken by the Antichrist, because he will possess the Antichrist. But at the same time, it shows that at the very last moment in the Battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist, Abaddon, and the false prophet have gathered in that great place to destroy the world and to fight against God's Son. This is a battle to assume the devil's position to God's throne. Now, the devil believes that if he can destroy the world and destroy the creation of God, mankind, if he can totally destroy it, then that makes him more powerful than God, and he will assume the throne. Well, the Bible shows us that Jesus comes back just at the right moment, and his feet will touch the mountain, split the mountain in Israel, and take the dominion of the world. How? The Bible shows that a great big angel that's so big, and all of this is in Revelation and other scriptures, and I don't have but a half an hour, so I'm trying to just show you how it's going to work. It shows that the Lord will defeat the devil with what? The sword of his mouth, which is the word of his mouth. The Bible shows that that sword that comes from his mouth is a double-edged sword. And what that double-edged sword means is one side is mercy and the other side is judgment. So he's coming with mercy and judgment. And the Bible shows that when he speaks the word, the angel comes and he will arrest the devil, the false prophet, and the Apollyon demon, and will cast them into the pit. Now, what I'm showing you here is words. The power of words are spiritual. Your words are spiritual. If you speak spiritual words, spiritual things are going to happen for you. If you speak defeatist words, you're going to be defeated. You see? Because spiritual words will be spoken through you as a vessel under the anointing of God. And God is able to bring those words creatively into force. But if you speak defeated words, and many Christians do, even after, well, I just can't seem to make it. Nothing ever goes right for me. And it just goes on and on and on. Let me tell you something. You speak those defeated words, even being a Christian, you will be defeated. So what does that mean? That means that you've got to put a guard on your lips. Now let's go back to the devil for a moment. In Isaiah 12:14, the Bible shows the devil at the end of the world standing at the judgment seat of God. And it shows the people looking upon him. And it says, and I'm paraphrasing, not reading from the word, but from memory. It says that the people look upon him and they say, are you the one? They say, are you the one that destroyed cities? Are you the one that had so much power over the world? And they look at this puny little creature standing before the throne of the mighty God, Savior Jesus. And they're saying, I can't understand how you did that. We followed you. How did you do that? Look how little you are. And look how much power that you had. Well, you know, from the beginning, God gave the power to man. It was only when man fell that the devil was able to assume any power over Adam and Eve and those that came after him in a fallen state. And how did the devil get power over man? Through words. He said, have not God said? Have not God said that if you eat of the tree, this tree of knowledge, that you'll be like God? And listening to the word of the devil created the fall of mankind. But the words that they listened to were words of destruction. And so from that day forward, God had men and women that some would listen to the word of God and some would listen to the word of the devil. And the ones that would get and walk under the words of God would be successful. The ones that listened to the words of the devil would fall. And so from this situation of Jesus speaks the word of God and the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist, Apollyon, and the Antichrist were all cast into the pit through the word spoken by Jesus. And then a couple of verses down, you will see that the Satan himself at that time will be cast into the sea, locked up into the bottomless pit in the sea. So we see from these scriptures that the Word of God is where the authority and power and victory comes from. Amen? God speaks, Jesus speaks, the great mighty angel that covers the sun comes and does the work. Now, we're not teaching about the third heaven that I've been telling you about and opening up those portals. We already have a connection with heaven. And our connection is in Ephesians chapter 1. We are spiritually, supernaturally connected to the throne of Jesus, according to the first chapter in Ephesians. Read it when you get home. And then the second chapter, Paul goes on to say, and we are sitting in heavenly places with the Lord. It didn't say there that we are going to sit in heavenly places. It says we are right now sitting in heavenly places with Jesus. In Hebrews it says we come boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus. So we have our connections with heaven. We don't have to create a phony connection to God in heaven and angels. We're already connected. Jesus came down to earth to make the connection for us. Amen? And so the word is quick, powerful, alive. It's sharper. In other words, the word of God, going back to Hebrews 4:12, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, out of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. What does all that mean? That means that the word, when you speak the word, when you read the word, it comes into you. And it goes into your spirit. It sinks down and pierces into your very bones. And it divides good from evil. It goes into your mind and your heart. And we're talking spiritual mind and heart. And when it goes in there, it shows you right from wrong. It's alive. And it knows what your intents are in your heart. And it's there for your correction to help you to get on down your pathway. So the Word of God is powerful. Say it with me. The Word of God is powerful. Now, in Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and you overcome everything by those, the word of God, your testimony, his testimony, the blood of the Lamb. He died on the cross, shed his blood, so that the word of God can be powerful, so that that connection to the throne is available to you, so that you just speak the word and it happens. You just speak, cry out to Jesus, and he comes on the scene and begins to work it out for you. Amen. I hope this helped you today, because you see, you have power. If you've never heard anything about it before, if you get the CD when they become available, if you get a hold of the CD, what will happen? You listen to it and listen to it until it gets down into your spirit. But you go and do your word studies in your concordances. And you know what? First thing you know, we will be an overcoming church if you can just get what I'm trying to say to you today. We are sitting on more power than most churches have ever heard about in our lifetime today.